Wow, Keith. That was awesome. Thanks for saving that up for this Sunday. It's such a privilege and honor, and if I don't get a chance to say this, I walked by faith almost 10 years ago when I met William, and we married almost 9 years ago. It was a trust journey with the Lord in our marriage, and serving with William, it has been a privilege and an honor. And thank you all for your love, support, and encouragement on this journey, and your prayers for our next season of life as we journey with God to see what He has in store on the great adventure. Right, honey? But thank you so much. And today I have the privilege of reading the scripture. Hear the word of the Lord from 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order, listen to my appeal, agree with one another, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thought about what to say for my last sermon here as an appointed pastor at First United Methodist Church, Cary. And I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I just really just want to say the benediction. And the reason why is a benediction is a blessing. When I was in seminary, I was told that before you leave a church, you need to make sure that you're leaving a blessing. So pay your bills. Be kind to people. Make up. Do what you need to do to leave a blessing. And so that's all I really want to do. That's all Polly and I really want to do, is just leave a blessing. Now, Paul, at the conclusion of his letters, would have a form of benediction. And perhaps the most popular one is the one that you just heard from 2 Corinthians. It goes like this: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Well, you've heard that here before. I've used it so many times. I really want to just give the benediction because I want to leave a blessing. But before I give the benediction, I want to say a word about what the blessing is, about grace, about love, about fellowship. So let's start with the amazing grace, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word grace, charis in Greek, simply means gift. It's an unmerited favor. So many things in life we have to earn or deserve. But Jesus was all about giving grace. And sometimes it's hard for us just to accept it. But that's what Jesus was all about. He was about giving grace, giving the unmerited gift of favor. Nothing that you have to do to earn it or deserve it. I love the story of how Jesus looked up in a sycamore tree and saw Zacchaeus up there. He was a wee little man. Wee little man was he? He was a tax collector. He was despised by his fellow Jews because, well, he chose to take up a vocation that discriminated against them, oppressed them, and he probably even was not fair in his practices. But Jesus saw him up there in a tree. And there were a lot of people there that day to see Jesus as he was passing by. Zacchaeus heard he was passing by and couldn't see him, so that's why he was in the tree. And Jesus looked up there and he saw him, and he must have thought something like this: that fellow must feel lonely. He must feel not welcome. He must perhaps feel always rejected. He perhaps feels on the outside. That little fellow up there needs some acceptance, needs some grace. So he goes up to Zacchaeus and says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I'm going to your house." And sure enough, Jesus goes to his house. I can see it now. Zacchaeus lets him in and he goes, my goodness, where do I let Jesus sit, you know? And he comes in and then he realizes Jesus, he came to my house. Out of all those people, he chose to come to my house. He's here. Do you know what Zacchaeus experienced the moment Jesus walked in the house? Grace. Acceptance. And do you know what grace and acceptance does to persons? It helps them to grow and to change. So often we think we need to grow and change to earn this grace, but it's the other way around. It's not until we receive grace that we're able to confess our sins, that we're able to change, to be transformed. And so what does Zacchaeus do? He goes right off the bat, Lord, half my possessions I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I will pay them back four times as much. And Jesus is probably going, wow, grace is working today. Yes. And so Jesus could probably hear everybody else on the outside saying, there he is again. He's with the tax collectors and sinners. This Jesus guy, what are we going to do with him? He's not. And Jesus probably was aware of that. And so he probably said out really loud, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. And then he turned and he said, this little fella, he too is a son of Abraham. Treat him like one. That's grace. Have you ever experienced grace in your life? We know what it means. We've heard it said. But so often I find people, and it's not their fault. It's just hard to accept grace because it's a gift. Lee Verison, I mentioned him, wanted to see me one day. He said, I want to talk with you about what I should be doing as a Christian. I want to do more. I just want to love my wife more. I want to love my son more. He's saying all these right things about what he wants to do. But I noticed that he didn't really have a smile on his face. It was more like, I've got to do better. 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 And he was already doing a lot of good things. And I said, Lee, tell me what you would like, and maybe we'll just meet for lunch. And not only did we meet for lunch, we began to meet weekly. And I just listened to him, and I'd hear him talk, and he'd tell me, well, I want to get involved in a mission. I want a mission that can be my mission. I want to do something for Jesus. And I said, Lee, look, I am completely confident the Lord's going to give you a mission. But we got to wait on it. Because you need to experience His grace first. Do you know how much you're loved, Lee? Have you really accepted the love of your wife, the love of your son? They tell you that. Do you accept the love of Jesus? Have you ever been happy in your soul? Has your soul ever sang? He says, you know, I write poetry, but can I offer that to Jesus? And I said, sure, write poetry. You're already doing it. Do everything as unto the Lord. In word and deed, do all to the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Write your poetry. His poetry began to change. At the beginning, it was dark. It was despairing. It was good poetry, but you could tell it was coming from a troubled spirit. And he began to write more, and we began to talk about grace. And I introduced Lee to Otis Hardy, and Otis took him out on the streets of Southeast Raleigh, and they began to be involved in all kinds of wonderful ministries. And he saw things happen, and he walked with Otis. And then I saw Lee change, and you did too. Because he stood up here one day, and he wanted to give his witness. He wanted to give his witness. And this was his witness. Have you ever had one of those magical moments when everything around you is just right? I'm talking about a photographer's, artist, poet's perfect dream. A moment when the air around you is filled with wonder, excitement, and love. I had one of those moments on April the 4th. While I was in Washington, D.C., the sun was setting, the light was just right, The Washington Monument was silhouetted by the setting sun. The Capitol was lit by the rays of the setting sun. There was a full moon beside it. I believe God is in those moments. I thought about it, and God is in many more moments. You can see Him in the joy of working for the Appalachia Service Project, the happiness in a child's smile at Mighty Mondays, the pleasure of being with one's spouse and family during special moments. God is Spirit, and God's Spirit is with us always. I haven't always been attuned to it, but I am more and more. Yes, to this I can be a witness. And then at the close of one of his poems, he writes, I don't know my future. I know not what tomorrow brings. I only know that when I'm with you, my soul sings and sings and sings. He gave his witness in April, and we did not know, but 2 months later, he would have an untimely death. So often people said, how tragic. It was tragic that a young man should die. But I thought about it. Do you know what the real tragedy would have been? If he would have died and never knew joy, never knew grace. But I knew Lee Verison as a happy man, a man whose soul sang. I can tell you, I have seen God's grace work in people. And my prayer is that everyone will be able to experience the grace of God in a way that's personal, convincing, and life transforming. And so today when I give the benediction, that's my prayer for you, that grace may be upon you as you leave this place. Love. How do you describe the love of God? Oh, man. It's like going to the ocean for the first time and you're a little boy or a little girl and you go, wow, I've never seen this before. Well, there are attempts to describe the love of God, and I'm going to try a couple of them. God's love is extravagant. It's more than enough. It's my cup runs over. It's from Luke chapter 15, from the prodigal son comes home and he's preparing a speech. Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired servants. But his father, who runs out to him, has none of that. He says, no, you're my son. And he says to his servants, quickly bring out a robe and put it on him and a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and get the fatted calf. We're going to have a party and we're going to celebrate. He threw a party that had everything. Everything. It was extravagant. That's how God's love is. It's extravagant. It's more than enough. Another way that we can describe God's love is God's love is perfect. Now in 1 John chapter 4 verse 18 it says, perfect love casts out fear. Is there a lot of fear in our world today? Sure. And rightly so. We live in times of danger, uncertainty. And you remember the series we had by Max Licato called Fearless? Fear may fill our world, but it doesn't have to fill our heart. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Perfect love will cast out fear. What fears do you have? What fears do you live with? Allow God's love to be shed abroad in your heart because His perfect love will cast out any fear that you have. The third way I'd like to describe God's love is it's sacrificial. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. And what did God do? He gave the only thing He had, His own Son. Sacrificial love is the love that just doesn't say, I love you. It's the love that suffers for you. Some of you have seen that kind of love in your own mother who suffered so that she may provide for you, or in your own father. But nothing like a God. Nothing like a God. You know, Charles Wesley came back from a disastrous trip to Georgia. He felt like a loser. And he wrote another hymn. Imagine that. Charles Wesley wrote another hymn. It's been written that he wrote at least one hymn a day. There was one day he didn't write a hymn. He fell off the horse and hurt his ankle. And he wrote in his diary, did not write a hymn today. I hurt my ankle. I'll start again tomorrow. But in one of his hymns, "And Can It Be," was a line like this: "Amazing love, and can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? My chains fell off, my heart set free. I arose, went forth, and followed thee. Sacrificial love will change you. Sacrificial love will convince you that you are a person of worth and significance because somebody died for you and rose for you." I'm reminded of Tex Sample, who started the Appalachian Service Project. Well, he was up in the Appalachian Mountains, and he was doing a lot of good things up there. And one of the things he and his wife did was from time to time, they adopted children. So they adopted this little girl up there in the Appalachian Mountains. I forget what her name was, but he would take her around with him wherever he would go. And he looked at her one day and said, I imagine her name was Sarah. "Sarah, do you know this? I wouldn't give $1 million for you." And he said, little Sarah looked up at him and said, "Gosh, I guess the price of me is going up." Let me tell you, the price of you is going way up because of that sacrificial love. And then one other way I want to describe God's love, and that is it's powerful. It's powerful. The grip of God's love is powerful. When it comes time in a memorial service or a funeral, I usually do Romans chapter 8, verse 38. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That love is strong. Death can't separate us from God. The moment of our death, we're not separated from God's love. So today I want to make sure that when you leave this place, you have the love of God shed abroad in your heart. And this benediction, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship. Fellowship. This is a fellowship hall. Well, we use the word all the time. It gets overused. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have lunch. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have fellowship. We're in the fellowship hall. And sometimes we forget what it means. The Greek word is koinonia, and it means shared life. The life we have that we share together. And we see it best in Acts chapter 2 when the church was just getting started. It said all the believers were together and they held all things in common, and they would sell their goods and possessions and distribute the proceeds to any who had need at all. And day by day they spent much time in the temple and ate their food at home with glad and generous hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of God and of mankind. Day by day, God added to their number those who were being saved. They had a shared life together. Fellowship. Koinonia. Do you know what I'm going to take with me after 41 years of ministry? Forever in my heart. It's the fellowship I've had with the people that I've served. I've done a lot of thinking lately about how I started and where I've been and where I'm wound up. And I believe that the second greatest blessing of the Christian life, the first greatest blessing of the Christian life is salvation. But I think the second greatest blessing of the Christian life is the fellowship that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I just think about the times we have together. I think about the times I've held a baby, I've been at a funeral, I've been welcomed into a home, I've gone to a ball game to see somebody play, the fellowship here we had in meals, the fellowship of being on a work team, the Appalachian Service Project, the fellowship we had in the men's groups, the fellowship we've had in prison with Disciple Bible Study, the fellowship, the times that we've had together, the time that I had to go for a colonoscopy, and the doctor said, "Now you have someone to take you, don't you?" And I said, "I take myself." He said, "Well, you're going to have someone to drive you home. Do you have somebody to drive you home?" Well, I didn't have Polly then. I got Polly now. Praise the Lord. But I didn't have Polly then. And so I was meeting at a little breakfast place up on Walnut Street, and I share with the men, I'm going to have a colonoscopy, and I sort of need somebody to take me that day. They all volunteered. I said, well, I only need one. So I said, okay, John, you can take me, John Struss. So I said, okay, John, I need to be there a certain time. He came by real early, picked me up, got in the car, and he started driving. I said, John, you're going the wrong way. He said, no, I'm going the right way. I said, no, the facility we need to go to is the other way. He said, no, we're making a quick stop on the way. He drove around to that little breakfast place, stopped, and then a parade of cars got behind us, and they all followed us to the doctor's office. So I got out, we go in, and I'm supposed to register at the table. We're the first ones there, but my whole crew is right behind me. And so I go up to the table, and I tell them my name and, you know, sign everything. And they go, and who are these people here? I said, ma'am, I do not know who they are. I don't know who they are. So she called me in the back. I had my procedure. And then after it was over, I was so relieved. And they were waiting on me to, you know, kind of come to and everything before they dismissed me. And one of the nurses said, you're Reverend Green, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm Reverend Green. She says, do you know how blessed you are? I said, yeah, I'm blessed. And I said, no. Reverend Green, do you know how really, 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 really blessed you are? I knew she wanted to tell me something. She says, there's some people out there in that lobby. And I said, yeah, I know, I'm embarrassed. I didn't want to come. She says, no, you listen to me. Do you know how blessed you are to have friends like that? Do you know how blessed you are to have friends like these up here who have come to be with me today? Larry and Paige, Mark and Alvin. Do you know how blessed it is to have fellowship? And so as I was thinking about what I'm going to be taking with me, I thought of a song I could sing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Tell you a little story behind that song, that hymn. True story. John Fawcett is the composer of that song. In the 18th century, he was serving a Baptist church in Wainsgate, England, and he had accepted the invitation to become the pastor of a really nice church in London. Going to pay a better salary, better everything. He was with people that sometimes couldn't pay the salary. He was with people who were humble. People, they didn't even have a church in that community before he went. But he went there and the church grew and he loved those people. He had great times with those people. And then the time came from he and his wife said, well, we're going to leave. And so they were getting ready for the last service. And he had already had his wagons pulled up to the house and they had everything loaded on the wagons. It was just sitting right out there. And after the service, they got up there and they were getting ready to go. And his wife said, John, we can't leave. He said, you're right. And they turned around, they came back, and the people jumped for joy and they took the things off the cart and went back in the house. In some respects, I wish I could say, we ain't going, let's turn back. But I need to go. God has ever yet more good things for Polly and me. He's got ever yet more good things for you. But I thought about, that's what it means to have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So today, my prayer for you is to take with you from this place the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, in just a few moments,